This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Well, hello and welcome along to It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. Joining us, as ever, it is Carlton Palmer. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well. The football season's back, Carlton. This is just great news. Finally. Life's a complete thing now.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had that long to wait after the World Cup, have we, you know? But, you know, I think everybody from the World Cup, the excitement that was generated from that, everybody was ready to get going with the new season. And, yeah, I mean, life without football isn't really life for me.
it's certainly not. I mean, we had to wait a little bit of time for Leeds United's first game at home under Marcelo Bielsa. And there was a lot of people ahead of the game on Sunday, maybe predicting a draw, possibly coming out with, you know, a draw would be a great result because Stoke are favourites going in to take the title. But look, I know it's only one game, but my God, what a fantastic performance from Leeds United.
Yeah, unbelievable. And that is exact. I mean, I've got Stoke as firm favourites to win that league. And don't get me wrong, it's only one game. So there is a long way to go. I still think Stoke will get promoted this season. But what the Leeds fans wanted, they wanted to see their side at home, big crowd, get a fantastic result. And they've got the start. And that, you know, in that championship, let me tell you, there's very few teams have a bad start and recover to get promoted. I mean, Fulham had a hell of a run last season from Christmas onward, but very few teams do that. You've got to get off to a good start and maintain that. And then if you have a drop in form, that's going to happen during the season. You get suspensions, you get injuries, you have a drop in form. But what you don't want to do is be chasing to get into that top two or top six. You want to start the season well and maintain that. So if you have a drop, you've got 7, 8, maybe 10 points to play with, and you can still maintain that top six. So they've got the start and they've got to build on that now. Big season for Leeds.
Yeah, huge season. I mean, there's always pressure on a Leeds United side, especially at Elland Road. And they always talk about, you know, the extra pressure of playing in front of that crowd. It was a sellout yesterday. I think they're the highest amount of attendance on an opening day. And just reading through some of the reviews of the game yesterday, just about everybody saying they've not seen a Leeds team play in the way they played yesterday since maybe the early 2000s and the end of the Premier League. And I'm reading this from sort of like, you know, really respected Leeds reporters and fans that are saying, you know, this is a different type of feeling about the Leeds team.
Well, you see, Leeds United, they've been brought up on attacking football. Whichever way they've done, they've played attacking football. And it hasn't been there. It hasn't been. When I say attacking football, I mean attacking football with pace, with energy, right? It hasn't been there for a long, long time. This manager is, you know, people like Pep Guardiola have learnt from this manager. He needs the players. He needs to spend money to have those type of players to do it. But he will play that way. He will play fast attacking football. Now, we know. I played at Elland Road for years and years. You start off like that. We used to call it the fast start under Howard Wilkinson. You get a goal or two up at Elland Road, there's no coming back there. Not with those supporters, you know. And so it's a brand of football that the supporters adhere to. And as I said, he comes with a big reputation. He's a coach that a lot of coaches go to learn their trade. You know, a lot of people have taken, you know, Pep Guardiola has said recently that the way his teams play is from this guy. So, you know, as I say, it's only the first game, but it's a hell of a statement. I know the year we got promoted at Sheffield Wednesday, we went opening day to Ipswich and beat them 4-1. And that set the tone of the season. So I'm hoping that's the tone. And I think if this guy is in this, I'm listening to the chairman and he's saying, listen, there's going to be more to come. There'll be more players added to the squad, to the team. And if this guy can show him that by Christmas, I think they'll have a right good go going up this year.
We'll come on to transfers in a second. I'm intrigued as well because, I mean, this time last season, Leeds had a great start. It was, you know, granted they were only playing Bolton in that first game of the season last year, but there was a lot of hope after that game. This seems different because, you know, Bolton are one thing, but Stoke, is like you say, one of your favourites to take out the championship title this season. You can't really, in that first half, they did not even give Stoke a chance in that first half.
No, I mean, listen, as I say, you cannot get carried away, but Garrett Rowett is a very good manager and his teams are well organised and his teams are disciplined, right? To take his team apart the way that Leeds did in the first half yesterday, that is a sign of something to come this season. I really do. I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think it's a sign of intent of what's going to happen this season. So I'm hoping so. But, you know, Leeds United need to be back in that top flight. They've brought the club back. The next stage now is getting back into the Premier League. But that's a hell of a result. The players have confidence. And like I said, the biggest thing to get out of this league is you have to, because it's a relentless league. It's a tough league to get out of. And you can't be playing catch up in it. You can't. So what you have to do is get away, get a good start, and then you can have a blip. You go and have that blip, but you're in a blip that maybe you're still in the top two or you're still in the top four. You can't drop down a mid-table and then expect to go with a run to get back in this. It just doesn't happen in the Championship, or very rarely.
I'm intrigued about your thoughts about the team lineup as well yesterday for Leeds, because realistically, I mean, we talked about them not bringing in a lot of players, and we had a little flurry of signings last week with Barry Douglas coming in from Wolves, Patrick Bamford signing on, biggest signing they've done since Robbie Fowler came to Elland Road. That's with him coming from Middlesbrough, and of course Jack Harrison on loan from Man City as well. Barry Douglas was the only change really to Paul Heckenbottom's side that finished last season, but Bielsa has managed to just change that team. I mean, a lot of raised eyebrows about, you know, maybe Bamford wasn't starting yesterday. He was on the bench. But some real raised eyebrows. And I suppose it just goes to show that, well, maybe Bielsa and his tactics, his way of getting those players trained has had a massive impact, because it's pretty much the same team that Paul Heckenbottom had.
Yeah, but I'm gonna quantify this for you now a little bit. Paul Heckenbottom didn't have enough time, and he came in during the season. Difficult, you know. Bielsa's had pre-season. He's had time to get these lads fit. If you go into a club and the players aren't fit, you've got a major problem. You're going to lose results. It's difficult in the season to do that, right? So it was very difficult for Heckenbottom, and I feel for him a little bit, right? He's not going to make too many changes, because the players that he brought in, they came in the last week. So he's obviously been working in pre-season with the other players, implementing his way he wanted to play, and obviously getting the players fit. And we've saw that. We know they were good players. They weren't poor players, but they weren't playing well. And I didn't like the shape. The balance of the team wasn't right. So he's looked at it. He's got them fit. The balance of the team in the first half looked exceptional. It looks exceptional. And, you know, we are early days yet, but the balance of the team. And then what comes from that, I'll tell you now, anybody can talk about team spirit, but team spirit only comes from one thing, and that's winning football matches.
Quite right, too. We've only got a few days till the transfer deadline day finishes. What else do Leeds need to bring in for you to make them real contenders this season? Who else do Leeds need to bring in?
Well, you need a squad. You need a squad of players. I mean, you don't want too big a squad. And I think, as we've seen, he's reduced the squad. That's what they've tried to do, balance the books, reduce the squad. But you need to have players. I mean, you need to have players, one player for each position that could come in if you've got injuries and if you've got suspensions, then could do a job. So, you know, always that's going to get you out of leagues. You need somebody who can score goals. So maybe another striker. But I think he was disappointed with the lad that went. I mean, he was very vocal, the manager, with the lad, the young boy that went to Sampdoria. He didn't want him to go. But the chairman, you know, and what I liked about the chairman, he come out and he said the manager wasn't happy. He didn't want him to go. He made it very, very clear to me he didn't want him to go. But I told the manager that, you know, listen, we've put money in there. We need to balance the books. There will be more money to come. You will have your money to spend, but we have to balance the books as well. Because that's what other clubs have done. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, went for broke and put them in a transfer embargo. Villa went for broke. You've got to balance it. You've got to do it sensibly in terms of spending money, you know, because even now in the Championship, it's big money for players now. You're not talking £5,000 or £6,000. You're talking above £20,000 in wages now, in salaries. Then the transfer fees on top of that. Then the agents' fees. So it's big money. So I get where the chairman's come in. They want to get promotion and they want to do it right. So I think what he's got to do, Bielsa, he's got to show them till Christmas. And I think if he shows them at Christmas and they're round automatic or playoffs, I think the chairman will give him money to go again. And it's getting those right players in. It's getting the right players in to keep the balance of the squad right, but also to keep the spirit of the squad right.
Exciting stuff for Leeds United. Just looking at another one of your old teams, Sheffield Wednesday. It's just such a tough season it's going to be for them, losing to newly promoted Wigan at the weekend. They put up a bit of a fight, but that, you know, their hands are tied. There's no signings for Sheffield Wednesday. This is going to be a hard, hard season for those guys at Hillsborough.
Well, I mean, as I say, we can't take too much into the first game. Right. For me, the league starts to take shape about 8-9 games in. Right. Sheffield Wednesday went for broke. They brought in a lot of players that I wouldn't have brought in. No disrespect. Taylor Fletcher was coming to the end of his career. Hooper, yes, he scores goals, but for me, he never sees fit. Well, you're bringing in players on £40,000 a week. You can't. Those players aren't going to go anywhere. You can't get rid of them because Sheffield Wednesday took them on a gamble that they would get back into the Premier League, right? You know, they didn't. That gamble didn't play off. Two seasons was all they had, really, and they went to the playoff finals, you know, and really, in all fairness, should have beaten Huddersfield. If Carlos Carvalho had not been so negative, they should have gone up, right? But they've gambled. And I'll tell you now, all of a sudden, they've got a new transfer embargo on them now, so they can't sign anybody anyhow. And the players they've got were aging 2 years ago, and they're paying them big money. So we'll have to wait and see, because these players do have the experience, but I do feel it's going to be a tough call for Sheffield Wednesday as it stands at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. There's no doubt about that. As we talked about transfers, of course, the deadline day is this Thursday. Are we expecting something big to happen? I mean, everything seems to sometimes be left to the last few seconds, the last few minutes on deadline day. But some of the big boys still trying to probably make some signings. Pep Guardiola said there's going to be at least one more player going in there. There's talk about Chelsea losing Thibaut Courtois. Eden Hazard linked with a move away from Stamford Bridge. Are you expecting a busy end to the transfer window?
I'm not expecting a flurry. I'm really not. I think a lot of the clubs have done their business now. But there will be one or two signings. There will be one or two. You know, Jose Mourinho said there may be one more. Pep Guardiola said there may be one more. So I think the big teams are looking at maybe doing one more bit of big business. It'd be interesting about the Pogba situation. I think he'll still be at Man United, but I think one of the big boys might test Man United with a big offer for him. But yeah, I think, as I say, I think Man United, Man City and Chelsea might still do a bit of business, but I don't think there's going to be a flurry now. I think a lot of the teams have done what they need to do.
What's it like being a player and being involved in a transfer, Carlton? Because, you know, we see it from sort of the outside and, you know, we don't really see what exactly occurs. But what's it like from a player's point of view if, like, you know, you're getting a call and you have to go off somewhere at the last minute? Is it unsettling, or is it just par for the course of being a professional footballer?
Well, it's a difficult one, really. I mean, when I was at West Brom, I got a call in the morning. I mean, I'm under contract for years to come. I get a call in the morning to come to the ground. The chairman and the manager want to see me, and they say that the club's in trouble financially and they need to sell you. It's a difficult one. It's not, you know, your own town club, West Brom, where I was playing. I was happy there. And so, you know, that was a bit of a shock, you know, and I had to make, you know, you had to make a decision within, you know, the next 24 hours. The clubs had made bids and you're talking to chairman. Yeah, it's a bit of a shock. I mean, all my other transfers, though, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, I knew that was coming. I'd signed a 5-year contract at Sheffield Wednesday, and then, you know, Trevor Francis and decided that he didn't want me. So, you know, that was coming. And then every other one, really, you know, most of the players know. It doesn't just come out the blue. Most of the players know that something's happening. You know, where you might end up, you don't know. But, you know, most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, you know that there's, you know, clubs that are interested. What's the horrible part is Leeds United was, for me, when George Graham said at the very last minute, he didn't want me. And then you're left in limbo because you want to play. I did eventually take a huge drop in salary to go and play. But you want to play, and then the manager comes and says, well, and you know you're good enough to play. I mean, George Graham never said to me, I wasn't good enough to play for Leeds United. His actual words were to me is he came into the club, and this is what George Graham did. You know, his idea is if you chop the biggest person down, the rest fall into line. So he knew I was a character. He knew I was a big a person. In any other essence, you would have thought I would be a George Graham type of player. But he thought that the rest of the squad would drop into line. But then he won't sell me. So Everton were in for me. West Ham were in for me. He said, no, you're not going to any club where you're going to embarrass me. Right. So then the opening day of the season is coming round. I've not got a club where I can go and play at because he won't let me go. Then the season starts. You're getting down because nothing's happening, you know. And then, you know, he told me I can either go and play in the Championship or eventually... Southampton were 8 points adrift at the bottom of the league. He said I could go to Southampton in the Premier League. So that is horrible for a player when a club, or well, not particular, I won't say the club because the club weren't involved in it. This was just a particular manager. And it's an horrible feeling, especially I was never one of those type of foot players. I was always first choice wherever I went, always first choice. And I was never not first choice because of football. George Graham wanted me out. That is as simple as it is. And it's an horrible feeling when you want to play football, and especially the opening day of the season. There is something special about the opening day of the season. The sun's shining and you want to play and you're not playing. It's an horrible feeling. It really is. But, you know, the way the game's changed now, you see the way players are. The players want to move. They're down tools. You know, you look at the Leeds side yesterday. I know they've had a pre-season with the new manager. But how can they put on a performance like that and not do the same for Higginbottom? And you see that time and time again.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you talk about sort of like times like that. And, I wonder, you know, what you must have been going through yourself. It must have been so frustrating that you just want to play football. But then just because, obviously, the manager doesn't quite want you in within his plans, that you sort of just get cast adrift. It's, you know, and plus you've got to keep your mouth shut at that time as well. You can't sort of say anything about that.
Well, I did, you know, But, you know, I mean, you're training with the kids and you're looking at the players in the team and you're not being disrespectful. You're one of the best players of the football club and you're not playing because the manager doesn't like you. And what can you do? And he won't let you go and play anywhere. The reason why he won't let you go and play anywhere is because he knows that if he's not getting results and you go and start playing well somewhere else, then people will go and say, you know, people will go and say, well, hang on a minute, well, you're losing, but yet you've let that player go where he went, which was exactly the same. I went to Southampton. I'm not good enough, so he says, to play for him, but yet he's putting a clause in that I can't play against him the first game, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So it is an horrible, I'll tell you, as a professional footballer, I love playing football, and to not be playing football, not for footballing reasons, but because a manager doesn't, I don't know if, whether he liked me or he didn't like me, but that was the way George Graham did what he did.
Yeah.
You know, he was that's why his style of management can't work now. That bullying style doesn't work now, because George Graham, in all fairness, was a bully. But it doesn't work, and it wouldn't work with somebody like me. Wouldn't work.
No.
And like I said to him, he wouldn't break me. If I went to Southampton, they were 8 points adrift at the bottom of the league. We nearly finished in Europe that season, and I nearly got an England call up to talk about me being back in the England squad. So it was never going to break me. All it did was made me more determined to go to Southampton and show what a good player I was.
It's interesting stuff. I must admit there'll be a number of players going through similar sort of things, I'm sure, over this week, and may not get the move that they want or desire by Thursday.
I know some players who are happy not to play. I know that. Wow. I know players. Well, take for instance the Newcastle goalkeeper. He's been there. I forget his name now. You'll know. He's been there for years. Every time a goalkeeper gets injured, he gets in. He has a run of sort of 7 or 8 games. Does well. Gets the chance to go and play somewhere else or whatever. He stayed there. Multimillionaire doing. He'd been at Newcastle for like I think. He retired not so long ago. He'd been at Newcastle for nearly 20 years. Never wanted to play in the first team. He was happy to sit on the bench, come in every now and again, play a few games and pick up 40, 50 grand a week. Retired a multimillionaire, but didn't want to play. I can't get my head around that.
If this is the thing I think maybe that sort of frustrates fans, isn't it? When you see players that all fans want to see is players give... I know people say 110%, but they just want to see players give everything they can for the club because of the amount of wages they're on and, you know, the passion for the club. And when you sort of hear about things like that, that really does grind fans' gears. There's no doubt about that. If they see a player that doesn't seem to want to play or is just quite happy to get a paycheck.
Yeah, well, it's listen, managers are losing their jobs because of players who decide to do that. You imagine now, you go in as a manager. Well, look at Hickenbottom. He must be thinking to himself, right, well, hang on a minute, you've not done that for me. How can you? And I'm giving him the fact that they've had a pre-season and they've got fit and whatever and this, that and the other. You see it all the time. And I've been in dressing rooms where players have not, I know they're not injured. I know that they haven't got themselves fit enough. I've known it. I've been there, and it's created a major problem between me and them because I can't have that. Because on a Saturday, first and foremost, I want to play football, and the second thing is I want to win at all costs. At the side I played at Sheffield Wednesday, at the side I played at Leeds United, there was none of that. There was none of that. McAllisters, your Strachans, your Speeds, your these type of players, right? Tony DiRigo, your Dave Batty. Dave Batty broke his arm in a warm up and still played the game and got man of the match.
Amazing. Carlton, I could talk about that stuff forever with you. I really could. We're going to catch up with you again next week. Thanks very much for your time this week on Proper Sport.
Thanks a lot, Darren. Take care, pal.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.